We'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. If everyone could please stand with me and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And if you could do the roll call.
Thank you. Trustee Dye?
Here.
Trustee Freckleton?
Here.
Trustee Holness?
Here.
Trustee Howard?
Here.
Trustee Lloyd?
Here.
Trustee Quiatek?
Here.
Trustee Lubai will be here shortly.
Any public participation?
No requests.
Great, thank you. Consent agenda, any item that somebody would like to remove for discussion? If not, can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or discussion? Hearing none, the motion passes. Dr. Labasso, over to you.
All right. Well, again, thank you, trustees, for a productive workshop. I think it was probably one of the best we've had to date. And and thank you for the staff that also prepared and presented at the retreat. I'd like to introduce Francisco Ortiz, also known as Cisco. He goes by Cisco. Cisco is our new director of campus safety. He started on April 3rd, and he comes to us from a long career spanning in law enforcement as chief of police in New Haven, Connecticut, and then multiple similar head campus safety jobs and emergency management positions at other educational institutions, including Yale, Trinity College, and most recently, Stetson University. So we're excited to have Cisco on board with all of his experience, and just wanted to give him a welcome and introduce him to the board. All right. Had active period of time since last board meeting. We had a nice signing ceremony with BCU on our first agreement with more to come. Made a road trip out with Lloyd Freckleton to watch our men's basketball team compete in the regional tournament out in Niceville. It was good to be out there. Unfortunately, did not come up with a win, but they nevertheless had a fantastic season. hosted Team Volusia's annual meeting that happened to be the same time, so I missed being there. But Dr. Locklear, as usual, presented well for us. Again, had a good ribbon cutting ceremony with our CDL program. Went to Orlando to support our PTK students. We had three students receive the PTK award at a state conference, so it was good to see them receive those awards. And it's the season of award ceremonies. So we had that. We had our annual employee service award ceremony and our student awards convocation as well. We had over 100 students receive a variety of awards ranging from academic and community service awards. So it was a very good program. Just a note, I know it came in late into your agenda, was part two of the annual equity report. Normally we are given this months in advance, and it was given to us on Tuesday. It has to be approved by the board. it's only part two. So we'll come back in May before June, with the whole report. But we do need your review and approval on part two.
Have a motion.
So moved.
Questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Great. Thank you. And that concludes my report.
Great. Thank you. We'll move on to finance.
Am I on? All right. Good afternoon. Long time no see. going to switch my caps back to my finance cap, and we're going to go over the financial report through the quarter ending March 31st, 2023. We're now 75% of the way through the fiscal year, and we'll take a look at the revenue budget versus actual. As you can see, we've now collected $23.4 million, or 85% of our tuition and fee revenue, $39.2 million, or 69% of our state revenues, $4.5 million, or 65% of our other revenue sources, and $2.5 million, 100% of all our board-approved transfers. So in total, we've now collected $69.6 million, or 74% of our operational budget. So we're in a good place at the three-fourths mark. Similar, looking at our expenditures, budget versus actual at the same point in time through March, we've now expended $47 million, or 67% of our personnel budget. We've obligated $16.2 million, or 80% of our current expense budget. Of that, $13 million has been expended, and the remaining $3.2 is still tied to open purchase orders and encumbered. $1.8 million, or 62% of our capital outlay budget's been obligated through March. Of that, $1.2 million is expended, and $600,000 approximately still encumbered. So in total, we have obligated $65 million of our $93.5 million budget. That is 70%. If you peel away the encumbrances, we have expended $61.3 million, or 66% of our budget. So tracking very well going into the last quarter of the fiscal year, like I said, at the three-fourths mark, with it being 70% and 66%, we're tracking under, that 75%. So we're looking to come in probably under budget with our expenditures. This slide we show each board meeting kind of shows our beginning fund balance and our operating fund one. So we started the year with $18.4 million roughly. Of that, the 5% state required reserve is the $5.1 million, $2.4 million board designated reserve, unallocated reserves of $9.7 million, and then the rollover from last year for encumbrances was $1.1 million, leaving us at this point in time a net projected fund balance of $16.6 million. Okay, taking a look at our actual revenue received versus the budget at this year versus the same point in time last year, you can see we've collected 74% of our overall budget, and we were right at the same 74% last year. I say it pretty often, we collect our revenues in a very consistent stream year to year. It's pretty amazing that they line up like this, but that's being state funded and how it comes in and tuition and fees lined up with the semesters, it's not all that much of a surprise. 3-year analysis for tuition and fee revenue. You can see we're tracking pretty well through March 31st, $23.4 million. That's up about 4.3% from the prior year. I know if you looked at your board packets and saw some of the revenue chart, there is some peaks and valleys. I know March being one of those months. It's all timing with when open registration becomes available to students. So for summer, for instance, we opened last year on March 28th. So we had a couple of days where the revenue would have been made it into this report for the March report. And for the current fiscal year, it didn't open until April 3rd, so none of that revenue would have gotten into the March timeframe. So there was about $1 million that difference there that came in last year at this time that did not repeat this year, and we'll see it come next report in April. So even with that, we're still about $1 million ahead of last year. Okay, taking a look at our actual expenses versus the budget year over year. Again, you can see very consistent in the categories. 67% of our personnel budget has been expended versus 65% last year. The 80% of current expenses obligated versus 79% last year. And 62% both this year and last year of our capital outlay has been obligated. All right, sliding over to our Fund 7 Capital Project Fund. This slide just shows our major funding sources within Fund 7 and all the activity through the first 9 months. A recap of that particular slide is right here. Beginning fund balance was close to $50 million. We've brought in $7.8 million in appropriations and receipts. We've now obligated $26.4 million of that budget. And of that, $15.5 million roughly was expended through March, and the remaining $10.8 million we've got still open, tied to purchase orders and encumbrances. So at this point in time, through March 31st, we would have a fund balance of about $31.3 million remaining in Fund 7, and $10.3 million is committed to projects at this point in time, leaving just about $21 million uncommitted and available for projects in the future. Okay, speaking of projects, here's our current active project list for projects over the $100,000 threshold that we've established for major projects. So there's 15 current projects in progress. The majority were on it the last board report, but I will point out the two new ones, which are here, the DeLand parking lot lighting replacement. This project will be getting underway soon, and expected completion date is June of this year. That one was funded from local funds. You have local fund 7 funding source. And the second one there is the DeLand AHU replacement. And I believe that one is being funded by deferred maintenance. Actually, I got those two flipped. The lighting project is coming from deferred maintenance. AHU replacement is coming from our local capital improvement fees. And so that does it with the, so all in, all 15 projects comes out of estimated project budget of $34.3 million. So it's got a lot in the hopper where, you know, facilities are staying busy. I think Chris and his team's doing a good job balancing and juggling of many of these projects, and plenty more in the pipeline with all the deferred maintenance and the those hopefully coming to fruition with the legislative requests on our CIP plan. All right, that concludes my regular financial report. And we'll go into, I think we got 2 months this time with payments over $50,000. This is our informational item that we bring each board meeting. So we have both February and March, all payments that exceed the $50,000 threshold. And that truly concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. It is my great pleasure to introduce a very special group of employees here at Daytona State College. They are seated right here to my left, so you can look at them while I'm bragging on them. Every year, we select a few individuals to be nominated for the NISOD Excellence Awards. NISOD is a national organization with a long history. It is focused on teaching and leadership. It stands for Staff and Organizational Development. It's a huge conference, like 2,000 people that come to this conference in Austin, Texas every year and recognize leaders from around the world. It's an international conference. So we want to take advantage of this opportunity to recognize some people that really go above and beyond. And so I'm going to introduce them, and as I do, I would like you to stand when I call your name and so everyone can hear about you and see you. First on the list, Dr. Elizabeth Barnes. Liz is you know her already. She is the chair of academic support and a senior professor in the Humanities and Communications Department. She teaches English. Liz is one of our emerging leaders who went through the UCF doctoral program and now is Dr. Liz Barnes. We're very proud of her. She is also known as, I'm just going to embarrass you a minute, Liz. I have a nickname for her. It's the network, because Liz knows everyone at the college and is constantly seeking to problem solve and bring people together to do that very thing. And so she's solution oriented. She's optimistic. She's positive. She really embodies everything we like our staff and faculty to be. She's also the heart of the student, Lemeron Student Center. If you're over there, you will see Liz somewhere. Her office is the one that it's clear, but it has a frost. Yes, that we put up there so that everybody couldn't. So now what you will see is, this is what I do. When I'm over there, you see this. Because you're looking under the frost to see if Liz is in there. So it didn't really work entirely. But not upstairs, that's true. No. But Liz just does a fantastic job. Thank you, Liz. Congratulations. Next, I want to recognize Rebecca Collins, the director of the Falcon Hope Center. Rebecca is an amazing person who brings her many ideas to life as she leads the Falcon Hope Center. This is a place where you can think of all kinds of different things to do for students based on what you learn and know about them. And Rebecca does that very well. She is a listener, an excellent communicator, and she has come up with things such as the Falcon Nest, which is the place. She's so proud of it, as she should be. I remember I went over there and she said, come see it. It just opened. It's looking amazing, where the students can come with their young children and study. I also want to recognize that Rebecca is one of the co-writers of what became the QEP. So the mentoring program, Rebecca submitted that as an idea, and it was selected along with the academic coaching program put together, and so that is our QEP that you heard about this morning. Thank you, Rebecca. Stephen Grau isn't here, unless I saw him come in. Stephen is the assistant chair in welding technology. He's probably in class. He is a great addition to the program. He hasn't been with us a really long time, but he helped develop advanced welding. And this summer, Stephen is going to go get certified in the AWS certifier training so that he can give the certifications right here on Daytona State's campus rather than students having to go take a test somewhere else. So they can finish their welding program and get that AWS certification right here. We really appreciate Stephen doing that. So we'll send him a round of applause. All around great guy. Dr. Lisa Kugel, Director of Resource Development. Lisa is one of those quiet, behind the scenes, but very important and powerful individuals here at the college. Lisa leads a staff of three, and together they manage 38 active grants worth $80 million. And this is done with all kinds of precision. There's a million federal and state requirements that have to be met, as I'm sure you can know and guess, but Lisa keeps up with that, from writing them to the all the technicalities of drawing down the money to the reporting on them, and develops also a monitoring report that is given to all of the senior staff members that is color-coded. Tom only looks for the red and the yellow, which is very rare, but when it's sent out to us every month, we frantically go through to see if there's anything other than green by our names. So we appreciate how she does that. We have tremendous respect for Lisa. Thank you, Lisa, for all you do. Next is Dr. Jessica Lipsey. She's sitting there in the back. Dr. Lipsey is another member of the Emerging Leaders Program and also recently got her doctorate through UCF. She is an assistant professor of humanities and communications, and she is also the leader of the WACWID program, which is writing across the disciplines, in the curriculum? Across the curriculum and in the disciplines. So anyway, Jessica knows exactly what it means, but she teaches other faculty how to incorporate this into their classes. And it's not just English faculty. It's all over. You've had automotive services, and HVAC has taken the course as well and integrated new approaches in their classes that have really paid off. Jessica does an amazing job. Oh, and she co-edited the entire SACS report. She made sure it sounded, that we sounded really smart when we put that together. Thank you. Tremendous effort. Thank you, Jessica. Mm-hmm. Next is, I don't even need to introduce this person, stand up, Frank Mercer. This is, if you don't know Frank, then you're just not living in Volusia or Flagler counties. Frank Mercer knows everyone. He leads the Center for Business and Industry, just a huge array of programs that Frank delivers and helps create. They're customized for local businesses. I personally run into people all the time who ask me if I know Frank. If I say I work at Daytona State, they say, do you know Frank? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. The latest big project Frank oversaw and is still overseeing is the commercial driver's license program at the ATC. And it looks great when it's all done and we're under the tent applauding, but the amount of work that goes into it before we get to that point is tremendous. Frank, for many years of work, and I know you're nearing retirement, which we will, we don't even want to talk about. Okay. But thank you, Frank, on behalf of the college, for all that you have done. You. Next is Miguel Rivera. Is Miguel here? Miguel, he's not here. Please, go ahead, Charisse.
So Miguel is our director.
Here, come up here.
Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. Miguel Rivera is our Director of our Counseling and Accessibility Services, and he is absent because he's currently at a substance abuse conference where he's presenting on behalf of Daytona State at the conference, doing a presentation about veterans and substance abuse. So he did work with us in the past and has since returned because, you know, you're forever a Falcon. And he has done a great job partnering with academics and with the college community, doing a lot of resources and outreach and teaching and making sure that he brings to the classroom and to the staff and faculty side all of the training and support and resources for our students in both of these areas. So he brings a wealth of knowledge. He is a licensed mental health expert and professional, licensed mental health counselor is actually what he is. And we are very happy to have him on board.
Yes, you can also spot that smile across campus. He is a very positive person, and he really conveys that to students. And last but not least, Dave Tatum. Dave, please stand up. Dave is the director in IT. He is over project management and the help desk, and you can imagine how busy that is, extremely busy. Dave is a professional project manager, and that you, with all these grants that we've gotten and all this software, the software palooza, as we call it, all of this software that has come to us in the last few years, Dave is overseeing implementation projects. And we have heard from outside companies that they are so impressed with how organized we are and that we use project management principles. They will often say they have not encountered that at other colleges. So I want to hand it to Dave for getting us in line. He taught me about project management. I did not know how it worked exactly until I found out that all of my little thoughts and whims were going to become a change order and a whole other meeting. Dave is good at scheduling them at 4:30, so I have learned not to do that anymore and be okay with whatever Dave says. No, Dave. And also, by the way, the man knows his way around a grill. And so he shares his recipes and his food and his love for life. And he has a lovely family. And we just thank you so much, Dave, for everything you do. Thank you. All right. So Lynn, sorry. Yeah, I just thought Liz might be in charge of this, too. No, okay, so we are asking for approval of a new program. This is an Associate of Science Certificate in Advanced Manufacturing Technician. This is inside the AS in Engineering Technology, and it's for the FAME students. We'd ask for your approval.
So moved.
Second.
Questions or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you. Next, we have the approval of three new courses. One is a cooperative education experience in manufacturing technology. It goes with two of the classes you just approved in that AS degree. The treatment of water and wastewater is another course. This is required for students to be able to take a special state exam to become water testing technicians. And lastly, a course in science concepts in the elementary classroom. which strengthens our graduates' qualifications to teach science in K-6.
So move.
Second.
Questions or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you.
Okay, great. We will have our constituent reports. First up, our SGA president, Gael Vidalin.
Good afternoon. My name is Gael Vidalin. I'm the SGA president. My major is healthcare management. I plan to transfer to either Florida AMA University or Florida State. In February, DSC had the opportunity to go to our first in-person SCSSGA since COVID. This conference allowed us to learn more about leadership skills, ethics, and event planning, and more. SGA also had the opportunity for a legislative visit with Senator Wright, Senator Hutchison, Representative Leak, and Representative Barnaby to discuss the legislative request for Daytona State. We also did Safe Spring Break. As part of Safe Spring Break events, SGA tabled at D-Land, Daytona, New Smyrna, and Edgewood Water Campus. Sorry. We offered students the opportunity to learn about safety precautions they should take during the week of Safe Spring Break. This SGA table had flyers, swag, and most importantly, snacks. We had cotton candy and snow cones. The annual SGA Club Banquet will be scheduled on April 18th. As the numbers of active clubs have continued to increase, club banquet participation has grown as well. The club banquet last year had 75 members attend. As of today, we have 110 members from club that have confirmed to attend. SGA is excited to celebrate all the hard work the members have put into their clubs this year. The SCSGA April conference will be held April 14th through the 15th. Preparation begins today, actually. The conference allows members from the 28 different colleges to learn about being leaders within their school, coordinate school events, meetings, and more. During SGA, DSCSGA created the signage for the conference and will be assisting throughout the conference to make our guests feel like they belong here. DSCSGA will also have the opportunity to represent our school and show others what it means to be a Falcon today, and to show off our award-winning student center. We also will be doing Earth Day. On April 19th, SGA is assisting assigning at the Earth Day, allowing students to come and learn about protecting the Earth and their resources for future generations to come. We'll be providing Earth Day snacks and games like Worm in the Mud, Cornhole, and more. We also will be participating with the Foundation to connect with future alumni on May 9th during the Falcon Take Flight event. This allows us to spend one-on-one time with graduates while decorating their caps for preparation for graduation. Thank you.
Great, thank you.
Thank you, Gail. And, you know, as we talked about at the retreat, a priority is our student engagement, and SGA leaders like Gail is doing her part. As you can see, we went from 75 to 115 already signed up, and that's the direction we want to go. So more student engagement is what we're about. So great job. Thank you. And Administrative Council, Alicia Alexandra, who you just heard from a few hours ago.
I'm back.
She's back.
Everyone, my update today is very quick, but first I want to say I'm gonna have to probably put in a petition for next year so that we're not presenting after the SGA president.
Yeah.
As a merit, thank you. Yeah, it's hard act to follow, but in any case, the administrative council met yesterday for our April 13th. Meeting, we had a special speaker, Dr. Autumn Chilcote, who is the QEP director. So earlier today you learned about the QEP, she was able to provide us an overview of the topic and our progress of where we are today, and also to request feedback from the administrators on anything that they can do to help to support it, but also feedback on some of the initiatives that we're working on that they think that could be successful. And so our next meeting is scheduled for June 16th. That's our last meeting of the year. At that meeting, I will be passing the torch to another president. I know, so sad. but I'm sure the person who will take my place will be excited and be fully prepared to take on the position. We will continue during that time to work on our election. So we're going to start on Monday to issue our nomination ballots and hopefully figure out who that person is. So probably the May meeting, you'll know who that is, but I may still be the person presenting. So in any case, right now we don't have any other activities going on other than in-house business, and we're looking forward to getting started again as usual with our annual 5K. Don't let that slip anyone's memory, because it always comes up right mid of fall semester and catches us off guard, so we want to be prepared for next year. But other than that, oh, and the last thing I wanted to say for our NYSOD winners, I just realized that two of them are our officers. So Frank Mercer is our vice chair, and then Lisa Kugel is our secretary. So, yes, they do a lot for us. But anyway, and Dr. Lipsy helped with the QEP report. With the SACS compliance report. And Rebecca as well, yeah, helped with the. So, yeah, I work with everybody on here. So it's hopefully a testament to Dr. Locklear's notes about how much they do for the college. So thank you all. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you. Thank you. And John Penny for Career Employees Association. Not here today. Okay. So, Paul, that means you're up. Okay. You guys can duke it out, but one of you get up there.
Sorry. First, I'd like to open off by thanking Dr. Liz Barnes, for standing in for me at the last Board of Trustees meeting. I wasn't able to get from Deltona to here in between finishing wrapping up a class and the meeting time. So thank you, as always. Once again, she spoke about the Faculty Senate Student Award, the award winner, and we were able to give her the certificate and hand her the check at the awards commitment convocation. I also want to point out, to reinforce what Dr. Locklear said, that award would not have happened had the networker not taken me by the hand, almost literally. We didn't actually hold hands because that would be inappropriate, but she walked me over to Dr. Tim Norton's office, and we discussed, and Dr. Norton was a big part of this happening, and we really appreciate both of you for kicking that off. That I think as a president, that's going to sort of be my legacy, is that that faculty student Senate Student Award. So thanks again, both of you. Unlike Alicia, I will be, our elections are over, and I will be serving another 2 years term. It's probably worth noting that I was not elected unanimously, despite the fact that there were no other candidates, but I did win the election. So two more years, and I'm looking forward to spending it with you all. I want to thank Dr. Labasso. Shared governance is a really, really important factor in any college. We have to have something like a faculty senate, or we couldn't. But that doesn't mean Dr. Labasso and Dr. Locklear have to support it the way that they do, and they do. And it's a great pleasure to work with them, and I appreciate it very much. And I appreciate the Board of Trustees. And I'm looking forward to hanging out with some of you for the commencement, and Dr. Labasso for the day. So I think that wraps up my report. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you. Last but never least, Billy Joe Dunaway, professional counsel.
So professional council also is going through elections. Next meeting, hopefully I will be introducing you to the new president of professional council, since this is my last hurrah here. So we will be doing that. Usually when career CEA isn't here, I try to for them to. All I really know is that on May 4th, there's the health benefits event fair that we're going to have here, and most of the constituencies will have a table there to present to our members. So I just wanted to mention that. And we are always spotlighting professionals, and we're going to continue to have spotlight awards. So next time, when the next new person comes, they will be able to tell you about a wonderful professional who works here. And we have a lot of them, including these wonderful people here. So they're all wonderful to work for. Thank you. That's my last report.
Thank you, Billy Joe. And thank you for your service over this period of time. And as you can see, board, it's a great team. It's nice to work with people that are dedicated to what they do, and we're all trying to help each other be successful. So thank you everyone here. And that concludes the constituent report.
Great, thank you. So it's been a great day. First off, thanks again to the board. I know it's been a full day, and really appreciate everybody participating in the retreat. And I thought it was a great retreat. I really enjoyed digging in a little bit to our mission and vision. Thanks for leading those conversations. If you think about it, it is the heart of what this institution does and what they want to be. And so it's important to get those right. Tom, just want to thank you again for your leadership as we wind the academic year down. As I said at the retreat, the board certainly sleeps a lot easier knowing that you're at the helm. And whenever we say that, Tom turns to all the people around the room and says, it's all because of you. And so that's, again, the kind of leader he is, and he's right. It doesn't, one person can't run it. And he's got a great staff here, a great team, great examples that we heard about today. The constituent heads, being involved in higher ed myself, colleges and universities don't work unless you have people like you that are willing to lead the Faculty Senate, lead the Administrative Council, lead the SGA and all the different groups. So I appreciate your service and all you guys do for the university. And for those of you that are leaving, I'm sure we'll still see you around, and the others will look forward to seeing you next year. So with that, I'll turn it over to Vice Chair Holmes.
Today was a wonderful day. It's always good to get a chance to hear what's going on. And just looking and watching the laughter. We talk about the camaraderie, the support system. And when each one is talking, you see everyone who's so proud of each other, and you hear that laughter and you realize there's a lot of constant interactions. So it's such a wonderful place to come. I'm honored to be able to serve. And I enjoy always our students to hear what you're doing. And I know that our students are very involved in the college. But it's just when I look around the room and see the excitement, as I keep telling you, I'm always asking, where do you go to school? And people tell me, here. And you should see the smiles on their faces as they talk about their professors and how much they know that they're appreciated, because they could go somewhere else. But again, I just want to thank you all and look forward to your constant achievements.
Randy?
Thank you. First off, I'm not accepting the blame, but I would apologize to all of you in the room for having to wait on us. I know your time is valuable, and we appreciate you very much. So thank you for waiting on us and not throwing anything at us when we walked in the room. But, the board retreat was really good. I think it gave us an opportunity to reflect on where we've been, some of the things that we've come through, some of the accomplishments of the past year, but more importantly, what's in front of us, not only that's right in front of us, but what's in front of us down the road. And I think it keeps the enthusiasm alive. It keeps the excitement. We continue to change and adapt and adjust to what the community requests, the needs of our community, the different job opportunities, the different types of education that we need. And that keeps the level of enthusiasm high, and this is like the dessert to come and listen to all of you and the reports that you have and the smiles. I mean, I watch everybody walk up there, and they start with a smile, and I'm going, boy, that's a good start right there. I mean, that's a great lesson we could all learn. So thank you for allowing us to be here with you. and to participate.
Like I've always said, it's an honor and a privilege for me to serve on this board and the wonderful people that work here. Today was great. We were able, as trustees, to sit and look and listen to all the wonderful things that's happening on this campus. And it all is a reflection of the leader, Dr. Lavasso, and what he brings to the table and how easy it is for him to walk around and talk to all his people and get things done. So I'm very, very appreciative of everyone in this room and all that are not here for allowing us to serve you and to watch this. Matter of fact, it's almost 12 years I've been on this board, and I can see every year we've been going up and up. Just maintain it. Enjoy yourselves, and I'm getting stronger. Don't believe it. Thank you very much.
Kelly?
Well, I agree. This morning was really just kind of a wonderful morning to spend thinking about the history here and where we're headed. Compliments to the staff for kind of setting us up for success, I felt, and to my other trustees for creating a space that was open and safe to talk about kind of all the things that are on our mind very openly. I thought we had a lot of great dialogue, and to Tom, of course, for leading us through, well, the whole thing today, but the year. You all have embraced me as the new one, and I thank you for that. It is an honor to serve, and I just compliments to the special people that gave reports today and your service. Thank you. And to our award winners, it's great. It's great to be here.
Bob?
Hey, again, not to repeat all the comments that have already been made, but a great retreat. And we talked a little bit about both the mission statement and the vision statement for Daytona State College. But when you come to this meeting, you see it illustrated. It's on display. So the words on the page are illustrated in everything that you do, and very proud to be a part of this Board of Trustees.
And Gary, welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be back in more ways than one. Speaking of that, I had an opportunity during my almost 2 weeks in a one-bedroom, one-bath condo at Advent Health, as I like to call it, to meet many DSC graduates and also even interns as well. And it was really neat to see them. They did make the comment that I look different in a hospital gown than the picture that's on the wall of the hallway. Understandable. Congratulations to all the NESOD winners here. And, great accomplishment. As Amy said, if you don't know who Frank Mercer is, you got to be under a rock somewhere. Frank, I think you and I go back probably at least 12 years, at least, through the chamber and Flagler and so forth and through other organizations. But thank you for all your contributions and to everybody here. Thank you for what you did. Welcome, Gael, right? You've got big shoes to fill, but I'm confident you're going to fill them really well. And last but not least, I have to do the shameless plug for the Songwriters Festival coming up May 4th to the 7th. Kickoff show is 3 weeks from tonight. It's a free show on May 4th. And some of the songwriters that night will include Casey Beathard, who wrote No Shoes, No Shirt, No Problem, all by himself, along with probably 18 other number one hits, and several other writers that just for that night alone. All total, we'll have almost 40 hit songwriters with over 125 number one hits and hundreds of charted songs that will be performing them over the course of 4 days. Tickets available at palmcoastsongwritersfestival.com. But also, too, want to make mention that Mike Kerr is our title sponsor this year and presenting sponsor, and he asked that we put the Mike Kerr Daytona State College School of Music, Art, and Entertainment as the logo on this. So our logo for our music school will be very prominently displayed because of his generosity and being our title sponsor. So we're really excited about that as well. So thank you all, and it's great to be back. And thank you for everything you all do for this school and to our students.
Great, thank you. And Randy, we're going to let you close because I haven't heard it yet today.
Go Falcons. There you go.
With that, we'll adjourn the meeting.